So there is a real investment opportunity here. This is ground floor. And at the end of the day, the real focus in the US is energy independence, supply chain security. And even though hydrogen is not classed as one of the 50, 51 odd critical minerals that have been defined by the administration, this is absolutely a US energy independence story. It's domestic supply that's going to feed into agricultural and industrial industries that are prominent and very important in the Midwest part of the country. And having that security of supply for ammonia fertilizer is particularly important because prior to, Ukraine war, a lot of ammonia was actually coming out of that part of the world. So we're now having to bring those industries back to the United States. And this, of course, is a major feed. Hydrogen is a major feedstock for that industry.
Luke Velterop, Top End Energy. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Doing well, Andy. Good morning.
Good morning. So, to all my viewers and listeners, this is a very interesting story. I met Luke in Atlanta last week, and I loved the presentation. And just for the record, Top End Energy is not a sponsor for this video. They are not a paying sponsor. I'm doing this complimentary because I was very impressed with the company, and I am not an investor as of yet, just for full disclosure and clarity. It was a very interesting meeting here. Let's give me a 30,000 foot view here of the company and why I and let's talk about why you're so excited about it, and then I'll give my two cents why I'm excited about what you have.
Yeah, I'll start corporately. We're at Top End Energy is an ASX listed company. We recently got an ADR, sponsored ADR, and our foreign ordinary share quoted on OTCQB. So you can find our ASX ticker under TEE, and the OTCQB tickers SERPY and TNDEF, which I'm sure you'll bring up. But Top End Energy is an industrial gas explorer. And we are actively advancing natural hydrogen exploration in Kansas. So this particular project is one that I've personally been involved with for a couple of years, having founded a private company that was acquired by Top End Energy. So I'm very invested in it, both through sweat equity and capital. And the natural hydrogen sector in itself is really a new frontier in the energy space. It's natural hydrogen created through naturally occurring geologic processes in the subsurface, as opposed to other forms of hydrogen, which are manufactured predominantly from fossil fuels.
Got it. Okay, so a bunch of questions in that. Hydrogen, why is that important, number one, and what do you use it for? And what are you specifically using? Who is your customers is what I'm trying to get at. That's my first question. And then my second question, well, I'll go with second questions after you answer that.
Yeah, so hydrogen, most people think of it as this emerging fuel, but in the Midwest states of the United States and the Corn Belt, hydrogen is used for food. So it's a major chemical feedstock for ammonia synthesis. Ammonia synthesis is used for fertilizer. And of course, we need huge amounts of fertilizer in the Corn Belt states for food production. So there's actually an existing established $5 billion hydrogen market in these states. And that's really why we're focused on operating in an area where there's direct pathway to customers and monetization.
Got it. So when you say used as food and really agriculture, in
Correct.
my mind, this is a predominantly agricultural play. So if investors are looking to get into the agricultural space, if you would, they should be of interest of this, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about how easy is it to get out of the ground? Did you just and I have no experience with hydrogen. How do you get it out of the ground? Is there permitting involved? Is there a well? All of that.
Yeah, so we're exploring for hydrogen in the subsurface the same way that we explore for oil and gas and helium. So we drill wells using conventional drilling rigs, the same drilling rigs that are being used across the United States, and the target depth is somewhere between 3 to 4,000 feet. And then we're drilling into reservoirs where the gas is accumulating and looking to flow that back to surface.
Got it. Okay. So what is the permitting process look like? Like if can you just go out and, stake a claim and then just start drilling? Does that take time? Because I know I say this in really because I know nothing about it. I say this in regards to like in mining, it's going to take, there's time to getting a drill permit, there's time to getting a permit to mine, there's time at, or name your favorite commodity. Really, the only commodities that I can tell is oil and natural gas. Permits happen much sooner. Is that the same thing for hydrogen?
Absolutely. And as you would have figured, I'm not from around here. I've spent half of my career in the United States, but I'm from Australia. The very reason that I came here to build this business is because how quickly we can move forward. So the US is very accustomed to oil and gas exploration. The pathway to acquiring mineral rights from private landholders where we operate in Kansas is very simple. You negotiate a mineral rights lease with the private landholder. And in Kansas, the regulator, the state regulator for oil and gas exploration activities, Kansas Corporation Commission, is very progressive in this space. They're treating and handling this the same way that they do fossil fuels. And so that means that there's a very simple path to permitting wells and actually getting out there and exploring through the drill bit.
Got it. Okay, so give me a time, like a rough time. So
I
you got
mean,
the mineral rights and you want to drill. How long does that take?
But I mean, we could be drilling out there from kind of staking a location to permitting to bringing in a drilling rig within 6 to 8 weeks. And most of that is actually the lead time of coordinating the contractors. Drilling permits, provided that they meet the standards, can be issued within less than a week. So it's a very fast pathway to exploration, which, as I said, is, that's quite unique to the United States and certainly one of the best places to build and establish this industry.
Got it. So, to all my viewers and listeners, and to Luke, I have actually a lot of experience for natural gas drilling and oil drilling. And it took us about exactly what Luke said. It took us about 6 to 8 weeks to get a driller out on the properties that we had. Most of that had to do with the backlog of drillers. We had to find the driller that we wanted to use. It was very a logistical thing, and it took us, and again, I'm just talking about natural gas and oil. It took us literally a week to get everything approved. Go
That's right.
ahead.
It moves incredibly quickly. And there are a lot of drilling rigs in Kansas and the neighboring states. But as you described, it's about finding the ones that are a good fit for you, negotiating those service contracts. And then, that's the biggest lead time. It's not the legislation or policy getting in the way. It's just coordinating all of your vendors and stacking them up to commence an exploration program.
Got it. Okay, let's talk about the land that you have and where you're going to be drilling here. And here, go ahead, Luke, to answer that question.
Yeah, so the area that we're operating in Kansas is adjacent to a very prominent geological structure called the Mid-Continent Rift. And the reason that we've come here to start exploring for naturally occurring hydrogen is because there's been all these accidental discoveries dating back to the 1980s. So explorers have operated in the area looking for oil and gas historically, although this is a very underexplored part of the country. And some of these drillers back in the 80s, early 2000s, looking for fossil fuels, they accidentally found hydrogen. And so academics have been talking about this area for decades, studying why hydrogen is being generated. I'm not going to bore your viewers with that story today. There's plenty of materials out there online that they can look into. But the particular acreage position that I have established, and I was playing land man for the past couple of years, was building a position next to the world's largest explorer in this area, and well, world's largest explorer globally, I should say, and that is a company, Coloma. Coloma's had a great success story as a pure play geologic hydrogen or natural hydrogen explorer over the past 4 years. They started with a modest investment from Breakthrough Energy Ventures, Bill Gates's energy company, back in 2021, and they've now raised over $400 million, bought in some top-tier investors, Amazon Climate Fund, United Airlines, a number of venture capital groups, even some major national oil companies as well, so Japanese included. So our position is immediately next door to where they drilled their first wells in Kansas. And I was getting in there in a very competitive leasing environment and securing those acres right in the heart of the fairway that they're operating in. And I think this map is pretty clearly points out that we are right in the heart of it, and we have something that's geologically contiguous with what Coloma has explored and had apparent success on the back of their exploration program and their Series B funding round.
Okay, so if we bring up the map again here, if I'm looking at it, you're not only right next, I would say you're underselling yourself. You're not only right next to them, you are right in the middle of
Correct.
all of them. So well done. Fantastic. And that's really what got me. That was the mic drop moment, if you would, when we were talking here. So I got two questions and a follow-up with that.
It's
How did you get that, number one? Because that's very impressive. I mean, it seems like they would want that property right there. And kudos to you for getting it. Number two, or I should say properties. And number two, do you have any wells now or are you drilling now? And if not, why not? But answer the first question first.
Yeah, so I identified where they were leasing and operating kind of long before this was public knowledge, and that was certainly to my advantage. It's the whole reason that I started a private company to go out there and pursue this position. It's because it's not very often in the energy business that you have an opportunity to be a first mover, and we've seen how well rewarded our first movers have been in the shale plays, for instance, where small, nimble, entrepreneurial guys got in, secured quality acreage positions, and transacted on those acres down the line for many, many multiples and made a lot of capital personally. So I got in. I simply established where Coloma was leasing. And this is a boots on the ground effort. You go and meet with landholders, you meet with ranch holders. I was fortunate enough to build some really good relationships with some of my early landholders, and they actually became seed equity shareholders in my private company. And that certainly helps, because once you build a relationship with credible people on the ground, they made plenty of introductions, and I simply used that to my advantage. So every single acre that we leased in that heart of the fairway there was in a competitive environment, meaning that the landholders had multiple lease forms on their desk, multiple people looking to lease. And it was simply through our small family-sized company approach at the time that we were able to get them to sign up with us.
Got it. Okay, so you have the land now. Are you currently drilling? Have you drilled?
Yeah, so we took a little bit of a backwards approach here. Usually, you would spend more time focused on building the subsurface model as a first step, and then you would go out and you would lease your land. However, in this instance, given that there was a narrow window of opportunity to go and build this acreage position, and already having understood the geology from all the work that academics and scientists had done on the area, we built the acreage position first. We then, grew that up to 30,000 acres, and that really that leasing effort continued through to the end of Q1 this year. And then for the past 2 quarters, we've been really building out and padding out our subsurface model. And recently, we released a presentation to attract farming and development partners for the land. So we are looking to explore, but we're going to bring in a partner that can help fund that through a farm out process. And so I'm talking to energy majors, mid-continent operators, venture capital groups that either have a very good interest in this space because they've seen the Coloma success story, or they're mid-continent operators, groups who have a healthy appetite for getting in there and exploring for new resources, particularly in the mid-continent part of the country.
Got it. So you have not, I get it. So you strategically made the decision to go after land as opposed to drilling. So you're not currently drilling. Do you have an ETA on when you can drill? And do you have enough money in the bank to drill currently?
Yeah, so we don't have enough today to fast track that exploration program, and that's simply because we would look to drill at least three wells in this area. And so, you don't want to go in there with just the bare minimum. You want to go in with sufficient cash. Particularly, exploration carries some of its own risks, of course. And the ETA for us moving forward on a program is securing that strategic development partner, and those conversations are underway right now. We have parties in the data room, and then we'll be looking to drill either on the back end of this year or early next year come spring.
Okay, so right now you're looking to drill the first wells early next spring, correct?
Yeah, that's a realistic timeline.
Okay, excellent. So let's talk about really the share structure, the
Yep.
shares in the company, and how much cash do you have in the bank?
Yeah, so mid-year we had a little over 3.5 Aussie, which puts it around 2.5 million US. But we're a lean organization. We keep it, we keep the G&A costs low. Just approved a budget to ensure that we have a healthy cash position at year end, and we're going to be bringing in that strategic partner to help fund exploration. And from the share capital structure, I mean, mate, perhaps we can throw that up on the slide. There's 280 million ordinary shares on issue. Our share price today is around the low fours Aussie, which puts it at around the low threes US.
Got it. Okay. And you've had a slump in the stock price recently, which means two things. Number one, I want to know why. And number two, that
Of
could be a
course.
potential interview for a potential opportunity for retail investors such as myself.
Yeah, absolutely. So the how do I say this? The green hydrogen story, which is creating hydrogen from renewable energy, has really tarred our industry in the sense that there's been a lot of negative press around creating hydrogen in other ways. And retail investors, this is new. I mean, I've been heavily involved in this space for 4 years now, but 90% of people that I speak to, probably 95% of investors I speak to, have never even heard of this. So there is an education process. The commodity cycle is really starting to kick up now, but it's happening in the battery metals, the critical minerals, and it hasn't really flowed over into hydrogen. So there is a real investment opportunity here. This is ground floor. And at the end of the day, the real focus in the US is energy independence, supply chain security. And even though hydrogen is not classed as one of the 50, 51 odd critical minerals that have been defined by the administration, this is absolutely a US energy independence story. It's domestic supply that's going to feed into agricultural and industrial industries that are prominent and very important in the Midwest part of the country. And having that security of supply for ammonia fertilizer is particularly important because prior to, Ukraine war, a lot of ammonia was actually coming out of that part of the world. So we're now having to bring those industries back to the United States. And this, of course, is a major feed. Hydrogen is a major feedstock for that industry.
Got it. So let me talk to all my viewers and listeners. I don't think we can talk about this enough for me. And there's really two things that caught my attention. Number one is the assets that you have and where they're at.
Yep.
Number two is I see this as a huge agricultural play,
Yes.
meaning, and when all of this happened, if you would, all of the geopolitical things that were happening, whether that was in Ukraine and Russia, or even if that is ha whatever's happening in China, is we want to control our own food supply, if you would, here in the US. And I say we as here in the US. And what this does, it enables that. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's domestic supply feeding into domestic markets. And not only does it, apply to agriculture, we're also starting to see other industries talk about natural hydrogen as being part of their security of supply. So just 2 weeks ago, the US Air Force put out a statement that talked about, they're evaluating natural hydrogen for domestic supply across some of their air bases. So yeah, this has been considered at many levels as a US energy independence story, and all about, those unleashing American energy themes of supply chain security, supply chain resilience.
Okay, excellent. Let me talk to all my viewers and listeners here again. So, to all of you out there that are looking for an agricultural play, this feeds in that this checks that box. That being said, this is a new young company, if you would, and they're we to be very candid with you, the viewers, as well as Luke. We don't know for certain what they have, meaning we have assumptions here that there's a lot of hydrogen. They're right on the fairway, but this is very similar to wildcatting, which I also have a lot of experiences. So a lot of you, the viewers and listeners, this is not going to be for you, just because, again, I just want to look out for you because this is higher risk. That being said, for those that are interested in younger companies and people that are on the ground floor, this could very well be for you because you typically get the biggest upside getting in early. So none of this is a recommendation. Do your own due diligence. And that's why I have a huge following in this space. I just want to be very candid with this. I myself will more than likely be an investor, just like yourself, on the open market, acquiring shares for those that choose to invest. Again, this is not a recommendation, but I see I'm myself am comfortable with the risk in my portfolio. So, Luke, wrap it up. Is there anything here that you would like to leave with your investors to tell potential investors, as well as give me your company website and your ticker symbols again, and we'll put all of this in the show notes.
Sure. Well, look, I'll just speak to your final closing point there, Andy. I think you're spot on. There's risk with this, but if we can get it right, the rewards are enormous. It's a hugely disruptive industry. This is a kind of, as I describe it, has gone from a fringe science that there really wasn't that many commercial people looking at only 4 or 5 years ago. There's now hundreds of startups, thousands of people are stepping into this space. People with many, many years of, oil and gas experience that are recognizing the potential. And so my job is to get out there and educate investors and bring this to their horizon, make sure they're aware of this because it is going to take off. And I'll, certainly why I'm here and why I'm so passionate about it, it's going to be a disruptive energy frontier. Closing off, ASX ticker is TEE, our ADR on the OTCQB, which represents 300 ordinary shares, that is under SERPY, SERPY, and our foreign ordinary share on OTCQB is under TNDEF. Our OTC listing only happened a couple of weeks ago, so we're now opening this up to US investors, and I'm boots on the ground here. I'm New York based, our project's in Kansas, and we're going to be promoting this to US investors.
Excellent. And all to all my viewers and listeners, Luke has been very responsive in both me reaching out to him as well as him reaching out to me. And Luke, I very much appreciate that. So, all right, Luke, I want to thank you very much and love to have you on again soon to get an update and learn more about the company and the projects.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.